They are not of the world, as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them, so they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus prayed that we might be unified in his truth, standing firm in the faith and strong in his word. In a world questioning the credibility of God's word, Christ's prayer is for his church to stand firm in unity and his word. This is The Answers Conversation, and I'm your host, Steve Hamm. We'll be answering the skeptical questions of our time, standing firm on the authority of God's word, and rejoicing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans 1:18-20. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. Once again, that is our verse for this series in general, and our series on talking about the Nye-Ham debate. We've been doing this for a number of weeks now, and today with us again we have Tim Chafee. And Tim is actually in charge of our ARC content, and if many of the listeners might know that we are actually in the process of building a full-scale model of Noah's Ark, the Ark Encounter, and you can go to arkencounter.com to find out more about it or to the Answers in Genesis website. But as we were going through the Nye debate, Bill Nye did make some mention about the Ark, and so we really should talk about that. In one instance, you know, we're sort of hearing some comments about how this one family could build the ark, this guy Noah. And so really we need to ask, can eight unskilled or so-called unskilled people build this monstrosity of a vessel? And so, Tim, let's start there. What do you think?
Well, I don't know that it would be possible for eight unskilled people to build something that large.
Sure.
But where does the Bible say that eight unskilled people built the ark? In fact, if you look at it, the Bible really only tells us that Noah built the ark. It never says that his family was engaged in that process. But, you know, that's the way it is with most building projects. When people talk about the museum, the Creation Museum, they say, Ken Ham built the Creation Museum. Well, he wasn't really laying the bricks and the mortar or anything like that, but he was in charge of the project. And Solomon didn't really build the temple. You had all these craftsmen and everybody involved in masons who were laying the bricks. The same thing with the Ark of the Covenant. Moses says, I built the Ark of the Covenant. But in a different place, it says Bezalel built the Ark of the Covenant because he was the artisan, the guy who God had given the skill to do that. The leader is, you're always able to take the leader and say, this person did that. He gets the credit, he gets the blame when things go wrong. So it tells us Noah built it, but how do we know how many people helped him out? The Bible doesn't give us that answer. We know that Methuselah was still alive up until close to the time of the flood. Noah's father, Lamech, was also alive till just a little bit before the flood. He may have had brothers and sisters. He may have hired people to work on it. There's all sorts of options available that the Bible doesn't rule out. And sometimes people say, well, you're reading that into the text. Well, no, we're just using common sense. And that's the way things work today. Here's one misnomer. We don't say that every single word of the Bible must be taken in its woodenly literal sense. We talk about how it needs to be understood in its plain sense, as we would talk to each other. And that's what we're talking about here. So the Bible never says they were unskilled. In fact, Bill Nye kept referring to his ancestors in New England who were shipbuilders, and he talked about how, you know, these guys couldn't build the boat, but and they studied their whole lives. Well, they only lived 60, 70, 80 years. Noah was 600 years old when the ark was in use. How much could he have learned about shipbuilding in that time? And we don't know what he was prior to building the ark. Maybe he was very skilled in doing this already, or maybe he hired people who were very skilled in building ships. There's just a lot of unknowns there. So
really, Bill Nye's perhaps pushing an evolutionary view of man, isn't he? That ancient man was pretty much unintelligent, that in intelligence in humankind has developed.
That's really what he was doing, even though I think at one point in the debate he tried to deny that he was talking about that. But he clearly was indicating that throughout, that there's no way these ancient people could do something that even modern men failed to do. But we know with shipbuilding, if you look back at some of the ancient Greek and Roman vessels and everything, a lot of those were much hardier than even the great sailing ships during the Age of Discovery or during the time that Bill Nye kept referring to, which we'll get to in just a little bit. Those ships were built with a lot sturdier construction. They had a different method than just building something really fast and cheap that could be put into use to carry coal or whatever.
Well, he actually did have an example of shipbuilding there. He talked about the Wyoming schooner, and he had a problem with the idea that Noah built a larger wooden boat that we can even do, for instance, in modern times. What was wrong with that example that he gave about that Wyoming schooner?
Yeah, really what he did was it was rather dishonest. Now, the Wyoming schooner from tip to tip was about 450 feet long, which is about the size of the Ark if you used an 18-inch cubit. We're using the 20.4, so the Ark is going to be about 510 feet long.
Okay.
But the actual cargo area of the Wyoming was about 330 feet, so it's a little smaller than the Ark. But that was used to carry coal on a regular basis. And actually, what Bill and I talked about is that ship was twisting and turning, and it kept leaking, and they had to keep pumping water out of there, and it had so many problems, and it sank. What he doesn't tell you is that it was in use for 14 years. And it carried coal up and down the coast for 14 years. Noah's Ark only needed to float for about 5 months before it landed on the mountains of Ararat. So why is it so hard to believe that people can build a boat nearly that same size that's in use for 14 years, but they can't do one that's in use for 5 months? It's rather inconsistent on his part.
Very inconsistent, and it really does show itself. Let me talk about something for a moment, because obviously the flood comes through. We're expecting, you know, a global catastrophic destruction of basically the whole earth, all of the land that covers the earth. So He talked about how could that be? How could, for instance, trees survive through that? And let me give you his quote. He says, "If we go to California, we find enormous stands of bristlecone pines. Some of them are over 6,800 years old. There is a famous tree in Sweden, Old Tjiko, is 9,550 years old. How could these trees be there if there was an enormous flood just 4,000 years ago?"
Right. It was kind of interesting during the debate. He tried to make it sound as if those trees were still standing throughout the flood, and that it's absurd to think that they would stand during the flood. Well, no, they didn't exist during the flood. Those trees aren't really that old. Well, how can you possibly say that if they count 6,000 tree rings or 6,800 tree rings on the bristlecone pine? The fact of the matter is they don't. They don't take a core sample and count 6,800 little rings. What they do is they take a sample from one little section of the tree, and they take a sample from another section, and they try to correlate those things and piece them together. And they'll even use other trees in the area to try to find a record here where they might line up the different rings. And then they estimate this thing is about 6,000 to 6,800 years old. But there's no direct observation on there with one cut from a tree where you can count that many rings. But even if there were, that still wouldn't be that big of a problem for us. The Caribbean pine can grow up to 5 rings per year because it has a very steady temperature in that area. So where these bristlecone pines are growing out in California, if when they were first getting started, maybe shortly after the flood, let's say about 4,300 years ago or so,
sure,
if that climate was rather moderate and it stayed pretty much the same, you could get several rings per year on those trees. And so that's going to throw your number off by quite a bit when you weren't there to see it happen. And you're using what you see in the present to interpret what you think happened in the past. You might be misled based on your assumptions. Now, tree ring dating in general is a pretty good method, but we know there are errors in it because there are times where you can have no tree rings grow because of seismic activity or different things that take place. Maybe there's some bugs that infest that tree or something. There's also times where they can grow multiple rings. So you can't use that and say this is 100% sure. Mm-hmm. And the other example he used, the old Tjiko, I'm not quite sure how to pronounce that word.
Sure.
I'm not Swedish, but He said that that tree was 9,550 years old, and he showed this picture of this pine tree standing there as if this tree is supposed to be 9,550 years old. Well, scientists estimate that that tree itself is about 600 years old, maybe 650 years old, the picture that he showed. But this is what's known as a clonal tree. So mm-hmm. the root system, they think, has been around for a long time, and it keeps growing other stems. And the way they arrived at the 9,550 years is through carbon dating. We know there are problems with carbon dating. Ken gave a great example of that in the debate where he said, here's some wood that was found in basalt that the wood mm-hmm. dates to 45,000 years old, and the basalt dates to 45 million years old. Of course, not using radiocarbon dating on the basalt because they don't do that, but on the wood, they did.
Mm-hmm.
So one or both those methods are off, and Bill Nye's response to that, well, maybe the basalt slid over the top of the wood, is he's not answering the question. The wood was found in the basalt. Therefore, those things should be the same age, but they're off by a factor of 1,000.
Yeah. You know, as I listen to both of those examples, tree rings and the carbon dating, really we saw a commitment to uniformitarianism coming out through Bill Nye in relation to processes, that the present dictates the past and the processes have always been at the same rate over the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And we know for a fact that not the case with carbon dating, and we see those uniformitarian presuppositions coming in, don't we?
We do, and it was the same thing that he kept doing with the ice cores as well, where he'd mm-hmm. say, we count all these annual rings. We know they're not annual rings in many cases. Ken used the example of the Lost Squadron, these mm-hmm. planes that were put down in Greenland in the 1940s and then covered by the time they went back and found them 50 years later, they were covered by 250 feet of snow and ice, and they had way more than 50 layers in there. So we know that those things aren't annual layers in many cases.
Mm.
So, again, you can't use that as an absolute guide to say here's how old something is.
Yeah. Okay. And look, we talked about this with Dr. Terry Mortensen as well, the movement of animals after the flood. But it'd be good to just go back and quickly talk about this, because this is also directly associated with the Ark, and this is what we're talking about. So he had major issues with speciation after the flood, how kangaroos can get to Australia and different things like that. So how about you just refresh us on how you would answer some of those questions?
Well, I think there's a lot of options available to us. We believe as a ministry there was an ice age shortly after the flood caused by the worldwide flood. Because of the conditions after the flood as a result, that would trigger an ice age. So if you have that, you would also have land bridges to many of the places on Earth. You would have it across the Bering Strait. So you can go from what's modern-day Russia into Alaska and in many other places. But people also knew how to build boats. There was an ark there. They knew afterwards how to build boats. And so they could have transported them that way. Some of the animals could swim. Especially if there wasn't great distances because of the ice age, more land bridges.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of different options available to us.
Mm.
And when he used that example where he said, well, we should find 11 new species every single day, because he was talking about how many millions of species are on Earth, he said something that there were 100 million, 50 to 100 million is a reasonable estimate for the number of species. Well, in the journal Science, just last year, January 2013, they said the number of species on Earth is 5 million, give or take 3 million. And so that's 2 to 8 million. But that's all of the species, including the fish and all these other things. Noah didn't need to bring those. He just had the land creatures. So that greatly reduces the number there. And so Bill Nye was misleading and misrepresenting in that as well.
And just on that, there has been a lot of research going into this 4-Hour Ark project from a group of PhD scientists that have met together working out the kinds and the number of kinds that would have gone on the Ark. What's the estimate?
Right now, they haven't given us the total as far as the extinct animals that mm-hmm. they think. So the number that they've given us so far, this would include the birds and the reptiles and the mammals and everything, just not the extinct ones. We're up around 500 to 600 different kinds. And then if there's two of every kind and then 7 or 14 of some, mm-hmm. It takes that number up anywhere between 2 to 4,000 animals. But we'll have a better grasp on that in a couple of months here.
Yeah, okay. But the point is... a lot less.
A lot less.
Obviously no problem for room on the ark either.
Right.
So, you know, when we understand, we do observational science, we see what the history of Scripture is talking about, and we can confirm the credibility and the reliability of the text of Scripture. And it is a real blessing to us that God is a consistent God who doesn't lie and gives us His word that's reliable, right?
Amen. He is good all the time.
All the time. Amen. Okay, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
If you want answers on this or any other subject, visit answersingenesis.org. That's answersingenesis.org.